I would like to introduce our first speaker. It's going to be Ms. Kim.
No, my pleasure.
Oh, you're sorry? I apologize. It's going to be Bob Gray.
All right. Thank you. Agnes Bach Reed. And I want to thank the committee. I want to thank loving God for making it possible for me to be here to share about the many slogans of NA. And thank you again, Anita, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you know, it's heartwarming, you know, when somebody gets their first convention and they step up and do some service. Kind of intimidating, too, right? Thank the committee for asking me to come and share and be here to share on this PG topic. I appreciate that, you know, parental guidance, right? First of all, I don't know if anybody else has noticed, but we had some wonderful weather. And we just come through one hell of a winter. And if you're anything like me, you know, the weather gives me a lot of gratitude. Of course, when it's cold and 3 degrees outside, and I'm waking up dope sick, right, and I need me some dope, you know, and I ain't got no money, right, it might be a blizzard. That gives me so much gratitude, boy, just to be clean, you know. But it don't have to be just those cold days, you know, it can be nice, you know. But man, this is especially nice, you know. It seems like I'm coming alive down here, you know. And, you know, I mean, because an addict like me, the best I could probably come up with, y'all know, we had some cold-ass nights this winter. You know, and I'm resourceful most of the time, you know, winter, spring, summer, fall. But the best, a lot of nights I could have come off somebody's house with a broken-down air conditioner on one of them cold-ass nights. And I'd be trying to sell somebody an air conditioner. I'd be trying to convince them that it ain't going to be cold long. You know, I'm just saying that to say I'm so glad I don't have to live like that anymore. You know, but at any rate, man, you know, when you get a topic, you know, it's work. You know, you get it, and, you know, the best thing that happens to you is you get it like 24 hours before you got to do it. You know, but I started on this one a while back, and it comes down to, you know, there's some very important ones in my story, in my journey, specifically, right? I was going to tell Kim I did cheat, Kim. I went downstairs and looked at all the former themes of all the conventions, and I wrote them down and shit, you know what I mean? I did cheat a little bit, you know. At any rate, my introduction to Narcotics was back in 1987 by way of a methadone program. I went there, and I stayed there 20 months, and I tried to drink all the people's meth, right? But one of the requirements of the program, while you're drinking the meth, you got to go to meetings, too. Maybe you can get, you're getting something for your physical. We go there, you might get a little therapy and nourishment for your mental and your emotional, you know. Absolutely need help, right? And so I did that, and I drank the meth, and then eventually the meth was gone. I kept going to meetings. And while I was on the meth, and I go to meetings, they say, Bach, we suggest that you don't share while you're on the meth. But, of course, I would share anyway because I knew some stuff, right? I'd share anyway, and they said, they go that meth talking again, you know, the program of complete abstinence, you know. So the journey, you know, was a... I stayed around here, y'all, because one of our slogans is, it's a phrase in our list, is social acceptability is not equal recovery. That's sort of like a cliche. We heard that. You did the first step. You see that in the first step, and it has a significant meaning to it, right? That this is not about... to look good. This is not about what I can acquire. This is not about the stuff I can get. It's not about the jewelry, the car, the pretty woman. It's not about that stuff, right? It's about the inside job. That's sort of like another one, the inside job, right? I missed all that the first time around, right? And I came up in here and I got caught up, y'all. We say that this disease is what? It's insidious, it's baffling, it's cunning, it's tricky, right? Relentless, it's wicked. And we can go on and on with the adjective to describe the disease of addiction, right? Tear your ass out the frame, okay? And so I came around here, got caught up with Look Good. I got caught up on one of our things in our tradition, mentioned money, property, and prestige, right? So I got caught up on that, and then the insidiousness of the disease and my disease thinking, right? Because y'all told me that I have a feeling disease, right? A feeling disease that lives in my thinking, It took a while for me to grasp some of this stuff, but that's why we say what? Keep coming back. It's all right if y'all help, because y'all heard some of the same cliches and some of the same slogans too, right? If y'all was in the same place I was, you know what I mean? Them things are tools. We hear them so much, we sort of take them for granted after a while, but they still are effective. You know, they're just as valid today as they were the first time you heard them, okay? So then I got caught up in this thing with the youngins who was still hustling because I was looking respectable and acting responsible. Had a clean shirt and a few credit cards in my wallet. My wallet didn't even look like my wallet. It looked like I stole it from somebody, right? I'm just saying, you know. And then I got caught up in the thing. You know, they say, man, can you help me with this? You know, which was like going to get some tags for the car. Man, can you help me with that? Going to help me get this apartment. And they was mashing me off real good, right? And they was saying, man, can you go downtown and take care of this business? And I was kind of smart, you know what I mean? I wasn't using. And I was, you know, I wasn't using. So much shit has been done in the name of I ain't using, right? And that's where I kind of got caught up at, right? Because eventually it was, man, can you help me count this money? And then it was, man, can you move this joint from one place to another? Okay, so now I got a thing going on in my soul, you know, a sense of hypocrisy, and, you know, I'm faking, right? Because I'm coming around y'all, and y'all trying to keep it real. That's another slogan, right? Y'all trying to keep it real, and you say, and, you know, like I said, I got caught up in not using, but it's also the part about the disease got me right where it wanted me so it could take over by myself, right? Because my ego went on swole by then. And I'm in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm selling drugs, right? But I don't want y'all in my business. I'm talking clean, but I'm living dirty, okay? So it wasn't a matter if, it was just a matter when before I was going to do that thing again, right? And that's what happened eventually. You know, I got caught by myself in 92. I had 4 years clean, right? And I took a blow of dope, right? Now, I don't know who in here has ever lost any significant amount of clean time. That's some hurt shit. You know, I'm telling you, boy, them feelings that I had that day sitting on the end of that bed was something. It's got to be right up there when my mother passed away, right? I'm talking about confused and lonely, afraid, scared to death, right? And then over that 4 years' time, I had acquired a lot of stuff, right? Because it's quite often a theme. A lot of times we come in, we think we got to fix the outside. Sometimes recovery ain't always about what you can acquire, but it's about what you can shake off in the process. Sometimes this thing's about getting rid of stuff, right? I believe in traveling light now, right? Needless to say, when I took that blow, like I said, it was all down here, but I call them mayhem now. I've had several names for disease addiction. I call them mayhem. Mayhem was something, man, you could support a dope habit. You know what I'm saying? And I probably could for a while, you know. The thing I never figured in, the crack, though. You know, that accelerated shit. You know, that shit went faster after that. You know, it was like, oh, you know. And you know what I'm saying, you know, like, I mean, I joke with my sponsors and stuff one time, we were talking about the lottery, and, you know, it's an interesting thing about the death style of the disease of addiction, because that's really, it's not a lifestyle, it's really a death style, you know. And we all the time, we say, if the drugs don't kill you, lifestyle will, you know, what we do will, you know. And we not only talk about the physical death, but we talk about the mental and spiritual, you know, the spiritual coma that we're in when we get here, you know. And man, we was just kidding around. We was talking, man, hit that lottery for all them $400 million, man, shit. I probably can use again, you know. Said, my dumb ass probably won't eat more D, you know. He said, yeah, it may not kill you, but it'll take your life. I don't know, maybe some of y'all can relate to that, you know what I'm saying? See, because that's what that living death is a mean, you know, that's a mean joint, you know what I'm saying? So I need to say, I ran for 7 years after that. I had a bunch of stuff. I had a used car lot, I had a hair salon, I had a car wash, and I had a whole lot of narcotics, you know. But I'm saying I was running from y'all, and that feeling that I had when I used again was one that I wasn't going to have y'all no more. I wasn't going to have those hugs, I wasn't going to have that connection, that support, you know. That, you know, and all that was gone, so I'm that type of addict. I can't use one day and come back in here the next day and get a key tag. Especially if I got some money. But the problem is, I got caught up because I'm feeling what I done wrong. You know, the first question I asked myself when I took that blow, what the fuck have I done? What did I do? You know what I'm saying? That was some lonely shit, man. I don't care what you're going through. You know what y'all say? No matter what. That's one of them too, ain't it? Yeah. No matter what. You know, come on in here. You know, it was a cliche. If your ass fall off, bring it up in here, and we'll put it back on, you know. I mean, that's just to show, you know, what extremes, you know, because I guess, you know, we're going to get caught up from time to time, you know. Man, let me tell y'all something. When I took that blow of dope in 92 with 4 years clean, and I was hurting so bad and had all that money and shit, it might as well have been like spot removal. Because that shit removed the house, it removed the car, it removed the car wash, it removed my ass, right? And I'm saying, man, all that stuff I had all them cars, I had a used car. Now, shit, I think 7 years later, by the time I made it back here, I had a bicycle left. Matter of fact, if the only thing I could find to give me one was a bicycle, I was stealing bicycles. My dumb ass stole one day, and he had no chain on the motherfucker. I just put it on top of the hill and coast all the way down 7th Street. You know what I'm saying? And got down there and got the profile, man. You know? It was bad, man. You know? And I'm saying the process, you know, how you just, you know, you get this all right, you're getting this all right syndrome. I'm all right, you know, getting ready to get evicted. Oh, I'm all right, you know what I'm saying? You're ready to get facing 4-12. I'm all right, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, like I say, the disease of addiction has a way of telling you something. I don't know about y'all, but 7 years later, it was telling me that I was a pharmacist. Now, I haven't been to school for that. I just want y'all to know. And I was out there in Virginia writing scripts, and the Fairfax County Police, they called me. And they said, we're going to show you what happened to the last pharmacist that was here. And they gave me 90 days, right? You know, and you know, when you get locked up, you got the whole goddamn zoo on your back. You know what I mean? You know, it's like the worst day, man. Who wants to be in Central Booking sick? Right? That was one of my greatest fears. That's why I was so petty. I ain't want to get, you know, I want to do shit that ain't going to get me locked. Steal money out of my mother's pocketbook. I want to do shit that ain't going to get me locked up. You know what I'm saying? So, but it was something about that that time when you get tired, man. I don't know if anybody in here ever been tired. Just so tired of that shit. Just so tired of hurting, right? And the more you do it, the worse it gets. All you still want another hit, so you ain't got to think about what you had to do the day before, right? And that's where I was, but I didn't have sense enough to say I need some help, right? So that's okay. God worked through the judges and the police too. And you know, when I seen them, I was in the store waiting on the man to give me stuff, and I seen them two police walking down the aisle, right? I say, you know, they may as well have been like two angels coming to get me, you know. And when they got to me, you know, normally when the police come, the thing to do is to break. That's the way I was taught. Police come, run. I ain't even moved. I just sat there. I almost wanted to say to them, what took y'all so long? You know what I'm saying? Because maybe they could rescue me from me, right? And that's what happened, man. I laid over there for 90 days and good detox. You know, I ain't got no long jail story, you know, shit. Your mother stood there more time than me, you know what I'm saying? I ain't got no long jail story. But I laid over there, and when I was coming out, y'all, this is a common theme among us too, is that when we get to that bottom, and we got a chance for help, and we got a chance for a change, then those three words come out. Or maybe it's four words for some of us. Maybe we speak them from our mouth, or maybe it's something in our hearts that says, God help me, or God please help me, right? I just didn't want to live like that no more, y'all. And that's really where my process began, you know. But the thing that shot by my head the first time around was that slogan that y'all say all the time was the same adage we use again. You know what I'm saying? You know, if nothing changes, nothing changes. That's one of them, right? This is a process and a lifestyle that requires profound change in our thinking and our behavior, right? So all of those things have been tools for me over that period, you know. And then, you know, I was broke down. I was tired, right? And I was starting to get my feelings back and stuff. And I had enough of something to say, call your people, man, and tell them you're about to come home. So I called my sister. And my oldest sister told her I was about to come home. She said, damn, you about to come home already? Some of y'all can relate to that shit, huh? You know, them people's tired, man. We teach people how to treat us, right? You know, and then they say, I think I need long-term treatment. She said, okay, we're going to see what we can find over here in D.C. You see what you can find over there in Virginia, right? And it's just something about that willingness that comes, you know, because I was locked up with 90% Hispanic folks who spoke Spanish. Now, we say, as one of our other cliches, what lengths are you willing to go to, right? Because we often are reminded of the lengths we went to cop, the lengths we went to get, you know, to get on, right? So I was willing at that point to stay in Virginia and learn how to speak Spanish if I had to. And next time y'all saw me, I'd have been Julio or somebody. Shit, I don't care. I just didn't want to go back up there no more. You know. Then we get around to what? People, places, and things. Y'all told me I had to change that, right? Okay, I was willing, man. One of the big pieces with me was I loved my street corner buddies, right? Y'all started telling me shit like, they'll pull you out before you pull them in. Ain't no need in you going down there showing them your new teeth. You know what I'm saying? Or how much weight you done gained. You know what I'm saying? I ain't had no teeth when I got here, y'all. That was devastating. I was hopeless on that bitch, man. I was hurt. Because I'm a grinner. I like to laugh and shit. I cover my mouth and laugh, you know what I'm saying? And y'all told me to keep coming back. And the dentist told me to keep coming back. Look at me now. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm talking about Narcotics Anonymous. I'm talking about here. I'm talking about, you know, our people base and our resourcefulness and how we love to help each other. Have you seen anything that matches the therapeutic value of one addict helping another? I haven't. I done tried all kinds of shit. You know what I'm saying? And you know what third tradition talks about? You can pray over, tie them up, lock them up, beat them up. You know what I'm saying? Until we're ready, we ain't going to stop. You know what I'm saying? Then we come in here and we learn these spiritual principles and stuff, you know? So the story goes on and, man, I got out. Look, something had changed. When they say you getting released on May 28th, right? And, you know, you can get out at midnight. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah. But I always left jail at midnight. Well, you know what I'm saying? But something had changed when I asked him, can I stay till the next morning and somebody picked me up, right? Because I had surrendered my business up on 7th Street, right? And I say, they picked me up, and then the miraculous process began, right? Not only me one day at a time not using, but that I could come into somewhat of a principled life, right? That I could start understanding, you know, my character defects and understanding how I suffered from low self-esteem, understanding how that at a very young age that I was impressionable and that, you know, I learned how to be dishonest like at 5 years old, you know, because I lied about the way I felt, right? Because of shame or guilt. Well, you know, one example is my father used to drink and he'd come home and him and my mother get into a regular rumble. And if he fight my mother, he got to fight all of us. You know, one night he was winning, he got my mother in the bathtub, he was holding her down. We thought he was going to drown my mother. And we was telling Daddy, Daddy, please don't kill Mama, this, that, and the other. And I was burning up inside, y'all. I was hurting as a youngster, right? I'm witnessing what I think my father's going to drown my mother, right? You know, it's a regular dysfunctional thing going on, you know. But, I mean, I didn't know how to interpret that. We didn't have time out and shit, you know, back then. You know, a son to sit down and let me explain to you what was going on to secure me again. You know what I mean? Shit, my ass got up and went to school like I normally did, right? And somebody asked me how I was doing, I say, I'm just fine. But I'm hurting, man, you know? Can't tell nobody why. Because when back in the day, it was what happens in the home stays in the home. Y'all are in the kind of homes, too, okay? Yeah, so, you know, like I said, I learned back then to be dishonest, you know? And then, you know, the common thing, a threat among us all is low self-esteem, right? You know, I wanted to measure up. You know, I was a light-skinned, brown-eyed dude in the Black Power movement. So I suffered identity. I suffered identity movement. I wanted to be a 6'7" black dude with a bush this tall. You know what I'm saying? You know, so I'm saying I had to shake some things off in the process, you know? All kinds of stuff like that, man, you know? And I had a mother who wouldn't let you run the house. Couldn't nobody chase you in my house. Your ass said, no, you ain't coming here. You better go back out there and defend yourself. You know what I'm saying? All kinds of issues like that, man. But I'm just saying, you know. Those are the things that happened to me early on in my formative years, you know. And then shit, in 68 I got my first double, it wasn't but a dollar. You know what I'm saying? It didn't come with any instruction. It didn't say the Surgeon General wants to warn you that this will just completely fuck your life up. You know what I'm saying? You know, I put the shit on the end of my finger and this guy alone threw up just like everybody else did. Shit started out fun. Come on, y'all, keep it real. Right? If shit wasn't fun in the beginning, how the hell we do it so long?
Right?
But then Third Step talks about what? The ugly side. The ugly side. That thing flip on you, you know? We cross this imaginary line at some point where this shit ain't no longer recreational and social. You know, it's a job now. You know? You know, all bets are off. Baby need new shoes. Graduation. Weddings. I was too ashamed to show up at most funerals, right? But I'm just saying, you know, so I called them girls, you know, and there's seven of us. We got a pretty stable group of my family. Most of my parents are deceased, you know, two loving parents who did the best that they could, you know, with us, right? And, you know, a lot of times, my mother died before I got clean, but I'm just so glad, you know, that I can be somewhat of how she wanted me to be now, you know. But like my two older sisters, man, shit, they say, okay, we come to get you. We found a program for you. And like I said, we teach people how to treat us. And so they never told me where I was going. You know, they picked me up. They got the program, and it was a Memorial weekend. And look, Second Step Hope happened to me the second day out of jail. The first day out of jail, it was crazy. They dropped me at a meeting, and I told the people at the meeting what happened, a small meeting. And they say, I just got out of jail. They say, okay, come on, you lead the meeting. I think they wanted entertainment or something. No, that was a meeting on what not the fuck to do. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, then I went back to the next day, ran into my sponsor. You know, it wasn't even no words to this. He just got me and just took me, right? Ironically, I had 2 years. Remember I told you I went back out. I had 2 years when he came in the program, right? He had 10 years, I had 90 days. Simple mathematical deduction. My day changed, his didn't. But the wonder and the miraculousness of Narcotics Anonymous is that he was here when I got back. Thank God he was here. Right? And then, so you know, that's my hope, you know. And then that Tuesday rolled around. They wasn't doing intake because it was Memorial weekend. So he was riding the Kimball Ram and said, where are we going? They said, you going to the ARC. Man, that sounds like some good shit, man. Betty Ford or something, you know what I mean? It's Adult Rehabilitation Center. You know, it's where they save souls and sell clothes. The Salvation Army. They said, and they told me very plainly and very bluntly, we're going up here to make a donation, and the donation is your ass. They dropped my ass off, they ain't mad for a receipt. I mean, they've done that before, right? But I mean, I was ready, man. I was tired. And then my sponsor, Dwight, was there. He said, man, look, I'm going to give you some spiritual principles. And the first step, honesty, self-honesty, get real with yourself, right? You tore out the frame, man. You say, honestly, you know, you say, man, come on, you know. I mean, it was bad. Look, Pam, you laughing and shit. It was bad at the end, right? I'm talking about, man, I go so long with my drawers on, I wear them till wasn't nothing left but the waistband. I put them on one day, and it looked like a thong or something. You know what I'm saying? Shit funny now. It wasn't funny then, guys. They all laughing. That's true bill, man. What was the hell? Yeah, damn Khalil told me, said, man, you know, shit, man, I wouldn't take no bath. I wouldn't buy no soap. Shit, only time I bought soap when I got beat. Some of y'all got beat too, right? Yeah, it's good to laugh, though. I mean, they dropped me off there, y'all. I didn't get in the step process, man. I connected with a home group where I got in the service, right? Started embracing this program. And shit, we say what in our program? One of our cliches is that skilled people are not born with their skills. I mean, how does one become good at something? Anyway, I'm going to start throwing them out now. I don't know how my time is going, but. Okay. Thank you, Anita. I got a list. This one, the first one, that look, y'all. See if y'all ever heard this and see how. I want you to think about this cliche and this slogan for a minute, right? Based on your condition when you first got here, right? Love you until you learn to love yourself. Now see, I can go over that with a minimum concern, but if I really think back, man, God dog, I did anything but love myself, right? What about one is too many? Huh? Y'all know the rest. We could really stop right there, couldn't we? One is too many in the story, because if one is all over, right? Okay, I said if nothing changes, nothing changes. But change is the name of the game, right? I said the next one is kiss. What does that mean? Keep it simple, stupid. And you don't hear that much no more. Because y'all act like we insult the newcomers. We say that, you know, shit, keep it simple, stupid. Because you come in here and you, on time, you guys are like a moment of silence. You know what I'm saying? And you need somebody to tell you, don't complicate this shit. Right? And then this other one here, this is big too. Give time some time. Right? Because I want everything to happen right now. Right? I want Tony 25 years. I want Keith 32 years. He'd be walking the door. You know? Yeah. That's all right though. I love him, man, because he was there right back when I was making that meth. He should look at me crazy than a mother. Well, you want to live? Don't you want to live? You know what I'm saying? Yes. We keep what we have by giving it away. Is that the craziest shit you ever heard? But it works. I'm saying you can't never run out as long as you're giving it away. Right? There's some fulfillment that comes in giving, right? You know, it says we give little when we give of our possessions. It's truly giving when we give of ourselves, right? Anyway, Lost Dreams Awaken. There's no model for the addict, for the recovering addict. Says when the drugs leave, y'all know that one, don't you? And we do recover. When the drugs leave, wonderful things can happen. Lost dreams awaken, and new possibilities arrive. Right? Let go and let back. That's that surrender piece, ain't it? Huh? How many times y'all say, "Get out your way, get up." That's how some people third step sound to them. Get out the way, get out the way. Oh, y'all can relate, huh? Yo, get out the way, yeah. How about this one? An addict alone is in bad company, right? Bad company. What y'all say? They got a new one. They put a twist on that joint. Yeah, addict alone. I'm listening to the last person I used with. Yeah. Then this might be from the therapeutic community here, but it's often heard in Narcotics Anonymous. It's a little process here with three pieces. It says we have to uncover, right? So we can discover, so we can recover. Right? Man, shit, this is some tough shit we got here going on. Narcotics Anonymous, man, you know. Then somebody busts me out with the difference between a good day and a bad day is my attitude, right? Then y'all bust me with, what part you play in it? Sometimes you do not want to hear that shit. What part did I play? I was totally into the blame game when I was going to try to do that. Okay, Kim, I'm going to be fair, okay? Because the rest of these are just themes from our conventions. And it's been fun sharing on this, right? But we talk about the ties that bind us together, right? I have never experienced anything like the love, man. I got down here today, man. And I got down here Wednesday, right? Because I incorporate my vacation with this. And I'm going to be honest, I got to rest up before the convention starts. I'm getting older, right? And because this energy gets so high, man. This love and stuff. Have you ever tried, told somebody, I will meet you down there when Reggie, you started the front door here, and told somebody, I will meet you down at the registration in 5 minutes. And 30 minutes went by and you ain't made it out the lobby. Right. Seeing me, you know. I mean, where else can you do this, y'all? Anyway, that's enough out of me, y'all. Look, if anybody told you to love you today, I love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Thanks for letting me share.